Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 8th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Markets brace for a rate hike from the European Central Bank and fresh remarks from Jay Powell.
The U.S. holds talks with Asian nations in a move to counter China.
Plus, concerns over lockdowns in China and growing tensions with Taiwan.
And Japanese officials meet to weigh what's next for the yen.
New York lifts the state mask mandate for public transit, and yellow cabs in the city appear on the Uber app. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets and Yankees with doubleheader sweeps. Another late night at the U.S. Open. They're down to the final four.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Again, futures are little changed. The DAX in Germany is down about a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 3.23%, and the yield on the 2-year 3.43%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% at $81.53 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we begin overseas this morning. The European Central Bank is getting ready for its first monetary policy meeting since July, and economists expect the ECB to deliver a rate hike as high as 75 basis points. Bloomberg's Stephen Carroll joins us with more from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Yes, 50 or 75 basis points, that's seen as the choice on the table for the ECB. Markets leaning towards a jumbo hike. If confirmed, it will be the first 75 basis point increase for the bank since 1999. Back then, euro notes and coins weren't even in circulation. Policymakers want to get a grip on inflation that's running at a record 9.1%. Add to that rising fears of a recession. A weak euro trading below parity with the dollar, adding to those woes as European countries pay more for imported oil and gas that's priced in dollars. I'm Stephen Carroll, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Stephen, thank you. Back here in the U.S., we'll be watching comments from Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell. He's scheduled to take part in a moderated discussion hosted by the Cato Institute this morning. Stick with us for live coverage of his remarks starting around 9 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Yeah, markets will be following those remarks closely, Karen. After the release of the Fed's Beige Book yesterday, a regional survey indicated weak prospects for economic expansion. Ryan Lamend is advisor to the board of directors at Securrency Capital. He says markets are pricing in interest rate hikes, but may not be taking quantitative tightening into account.
Aggressive QT is actually doing what they say they were going to do, which is reduce their balance sheets by $47 billion a month or double that. And they have not done so. So yes, risky assets are not pricing this because the Fed has showed that it is not doing it and maybe will not do it. More aggressive given the geopolitics, this might create not a hard landing, but an actual crash.
Ryan Lamend with Securrency Capital says investors should tread carefully as the Fed reduces its balance sheet.
Meantime, Nathan, Goldman Sachs is lifting its forecast for the pace of interest rate hikes. The bank now expects the Fed to hike by 75 basis points this month and 50 basis points in November. The bank is also forecasting a 25 basis point move in December.
All right, let's turn to the market action now. Beginning in Asia, stocks in the region rebounded from 2-year lows overnight. Bonds climbed after Australia's central bank signaled a potential end to big interest rate hikes. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with the details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The regional index rose around 1%, led by gains in Japan and Australia. Aussie stocks were bid along with bonds after RBA Governor Lowe indicated the case for slower monetary tightening is getting stronger as borrowing costs climb. The Aussie was the weakest G10 performer. And the offshore yuan remained under pressure despite the PBOC setting a stronger-than-expected fix for a 12th day. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Well, we're keeping an eye on the yen this morning. It had big swings overnight, weaker than stronger, now weaker again. There are reports that officials in Japan are meeting for the first time since June to discuss the situation. Checking the yen right now, it's at 143.87 against the dollar.
Staying overseas, Karen, we have a big move in geopolitics. The U.S. is warning about Chinese threats to Taiwan. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the U.S. is working to alter policy toward the island in light of threats from Beijing.
I think it remains a distinct threat that there could be a military contingency around Taiwan, and the People's Republic of China has actually stated as official policy that it is not taking the invasion of Taiwan off the table, that that remains one of the potential options for the reunification of Taiwan.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan spoke on the David Rubenstein Show Peer-to-Peer Conversations. Catch the program later this month on Bloomberg Television. It's coming up September 21st at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Meantime, Nathan, the U.S. is also taking aim at China on the economic front. The White House is hosting the first gathering of Asian nations over an economic agreement that aims to counter Beijing's rising influence in the region. It comes as Chinese President Xi Jinping prepares to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin in person for the first time since Moscow invaded Ukraine. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel in Hong Kong says the agreement is unusually structured.
It's a non-traditional trade agreement that the United States and the Biden administration has come up with and has brought in 13 other countries in the Asia Pacific. And they're going to be meeting in Los Angeles in the inaugural meeting. It's going to be a couple of days. It's not really a traditional FTA, free trade agreement. It is not like TPP. It's not really aimed at cutting tariffs.
And Bloomberg's Stephen Engel says critics of the agreement argue it's too vague and want more details.
All the while in China, Karen, the city of Chengdu is extending a week-long lockdown in most areas after an increase in COVID cases. Chengdu is home to 21 million people. It's the biggest city to shut since Shanghai's two-month lockdown earlier this year. Authorities will continue mass testing and are pledging to eliminate community spread of the virus within a week.
And finally, Nathan, let's talk oil. Crude has slumped to an eight-month low as investors assess global demand amid China lockdowns and an economic slowdown. West Texas Intermediate pushed back toward $83 a barrel after collapsing by almost 6% on Wednesday, the biggest loss since mid-July. Checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 40 cents at $81.55 a barrel. Brent is down 0.4% at $87.61. Futures, again, well, they're starting to show some declines here. S&P futures down around 3 points. Dow futures down 19. NASDAQ futures down 11. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 607 on Wall Street, 65 degrees in Central Park. Westbound LIE is jammed between the Grand Central Parkway and Woodhaven Boulevard. We'll tell you more in traffic shortly. First, John Tucker's here with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. John.
Nathan, Governor Kathy Hochul has lifted the state's mask requirement for public transit. It removes one of the last remaining government mandates of the pandemic.
We're watching global trends. We're watching for variants. We're watching for any updates and vaccines, but we do believe that we're in a good place right now, especially if New Yorkers take advantage of this booster.
Hochul making the announcement before receiving the Omicron-specific booster. Masks will still be mandatory in healthcare settings and at adult care facilities. Uber will begin rolling out yellow taxi rides in New York. More in this report from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
It's a long-awaited effort to help ease a driver shortage and pressure on fares. The Big Apple's iconic yellow cabs have started to appear on the ride-hailing platform for a randomized majority of active New York City riders, allowing them to book trips and taxis through the Uber app. Under an agreement, Uber customers can hail a taxi at the same price as an UberX, and they'll see the fare up front before requesting a trip. Drivers' earnings will initially be based on the City Taxi and Limousine Commission mandated rates, which are close to $32 an hour. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Abortion remains legal in Michigan after a judge permanently blocked enforcement of a 91-year-old ban that could have become law. It followed the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The ban, which was opposed in a separate lawsuit by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, was on hold after a temporary ruling. President Biden will host a call with allies today about the next steps in support of Ukraine against Russian invasion. And meantime, the Pentagon has sent Ukraine its most accurate artillery shell, the GPS-guided Excalibur, a satellite-guided weapon that can hit within 7 feet of its target. The Excalibur was first used in Iraq in 2007 in the high-profile killing of an al-Qaeda leader. And California's power grid once again didn't break, despite being stretched to the limit, as the punishing heat wave there continues to test the state's ability to keep the lights on. Today promises to be another tense standoff, with demand forecast near a record high and the California Independent System Operator already declaring an emergency watch. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, John Stashower's got the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Nathan, let's play two. Mets and Yankees both made up rainouts with doubleheaders and both had sweeps. Both had their aces on the mound for the nightcap, provided them with plenty of offense. That's not normally the case when Jacob DeGrom pitches, but DeGrom and the Mets beat the Pirates 10-0 after the Mets took the opener 5-1 at the stadium. Gerrit Cole on the mound for the second game. He struck out 14. Yanks beat the Twins 7-1. Isaiah Conner for Leffler with a grand slam. The opener included yet another home run by you-know-who.
The 2-1. Swung on, hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It's amazing, and I mean that. Absolutely. He's done it again. How does he do it?
John Sterling, WFAN. So now 55 home runs for Aaron Judge. The Yanks won 5-4 when they scored twice in the 12th inning. Another incredibly late night slash early morning at the U.S. Open. 48 hours after Carlos Alcaraz won his fourth round match at 2:23 a.m., Alcaraz was back, finishing his quarterfinal victory over Yannick Sinner at 2:50 a.m. The match went 5 hours, 15 minutes. Alcaraz faced a match point in the fourth set. He's into the semis to play Francis Tiafoe, who's doing things no American man has done since Andy Roddick. Tiafoe, first for the U.S. to be a Grand Slam semifinalist since 2009, first to do it at the Open since 06, and Tiafoe is the first African-American men's Open semifinalist since Arthur Ashe 50 years ago. They'll play the women's semifinals at Arthur Ashe Stadium tonight. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. Right now, S&P futures are moving, not really moving at all. They're a little change to the downside. Dow futures are up 2. NASDAQ futures are down 2 points. So futures contracts pretty much a little changed across the board ahead of an ECB decision. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, high near 80 today. We'll be in the low 80s in the sunshine tomorrow. Saturday, sunny, low 80s. We'll call it partly sunny and low 80s on Sunday. Right now, 65 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks have been pairing early gains as investors brace for potential unprecedented monetary policy tightening by the region's central bank later today. And U.S. stock index futures, they're little changed. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Again, futures, little change this morning. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.3%. CAC in Paris is up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds. Yield 3.24%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.43%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 43 cents at $81.51 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3.10 at $17.30.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0002 against the dollar. British pound 1.1494 and the yen 143.89. And Bitcoin this morning is down 0.5% at $19,290. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Good morning, Karen. Police in Memphis have arrested a 19-year-old after 4 people were killed, 3 others wounded in a random shooting spree that was live streamed on Facebook. President Biden holding back on a decision to scrap any Trump-era tariffs on China imports. Now, the Pentagon has sent Ukraine its most accurate artillery shell. Sports, Yankees beat the Twins in both games of their doubleheader. The Mets also winners, beating the Pirates in both games of their doubleheader. The A's lose to the Braves. Giants lose to the Dodgers. The Red Sox lost to the Rays. The Orioles lost to the Blue Jays. The Nationals lost to the Cardinals. And the NFL season kicks off tonight. Global news 24 hours a day on Bloomberg and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John. Thanks. We got some breaking headlines just crossing the Bloomberg terminal. We've just learned Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Kyiv on an unannounced visit. This comes just moments after the Secretary of State announced $2 billion in new U.S. military aid for Europe. We'll continue following these breaking developments, bring you more as we learn it right here on Bloomberg Radio. In the meantime, we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, and you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak as we count down to an ECB decision. We're joined by Bloomberg opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth as we await 8:15 Wall Street time for the policy rate decision from the central bankers in Europe. Marcus, good morning. It feels like deja vu. We're thinking about whether it's going to be 50 basis points or 75 basis points. Isn't that what we did with the Fed just a month or two ago?
Yeah, and we're thinking about the same thing for possibly the Bank of England as well. It seems to be all the rage, this 75 basis point move. The difference is it makes some sense in the context that you've got a very strong economy. And the Fed's on a very clear mission and being reinforced by Jackson Hole in an address from Jay Powell, which is unremittingly hawkish. So it's dragging the rest of the crowd along with it. And I think the ECB needs to be very careful merrily going on with 75 basis point rate hike, which is now become the common accepted move today. Only 6 out of 26, or however many it is, members of the governing council have sort of expressed a sort of hawkish view. But for whatever reason, and we've learned to read these sort of smoke signals from by the press a little bit more seriously, as clearly in July they were last minute decided on a 50 rather than a 25. And now it seems to be rather than a 50, it's going to be a 75 today. Well, you know, they've got to be careful. The economy is very weak. You know, Russia shut down the Nord Stream pipeline, and to do open heart surgery on the European economy after such a terrible time through the pandemic, it's never really recovered, is brave, very brave.
So is there a possibility then that we could see less than a 75 basis point move, given, as you mentioned, the serious energy crisis that's facing the eurozone and potentially the idea that the ECB might not necessarily have the tools to tackle that kind of inflation?
Well, indeed, this is exogenous, outside, you know, energy inflation, which they got no real control over. Obviously, they're worried about second round of effects, and that's why the core rate up at 4.3 is probably what's driving the scared attitude to this. It's very much driven by Germany, which really has a pathological hatred of inflation. Nonetheless, the rest of the eurozone, particularly countries like Italy, are really struggling here, and their funding is questionable. When it goes above 4%, last time around, this is when the ECB had an emergency meeting. We're not far away from that level now, so I'm not quite sure why the mood has changed. Suddenly, they think they can do 75. For sure, the chief economist, Philip Lane, has intimated that he would much prefer 50. And I think Lagarde has sort of hinted along the same lines as well. But the risk here is if 75 is forced on them, then they are perhaps having lost control. And it's never a good look for a central bank. So a tricky one. I hope 50 prevails just for the sanity. It doesn't mean they can't do 50 again, you know, in the next meeting. It's just, I think, shocking an economy which has had 8 years of negative rates straight up with big 75 basis point hikes out of zero where they currently are. Could be a little bit too much, particularly as there's other factors in. I want to get too excited about QT happening in Europe, but it's going to be on the agenda by the end of the year for sure. And then also they're going to have to take back a whole bunch of very, very incredibly generous bank lending that they've done throughout the whole pandemic as well. So if they do all these things at once, it may be too much. Financial conditions might tighten to a credit crunch standard.
Yeah, I want to focus in our last minute here, Marcus, on the balance sheet, the excess liquidity in the commercial banks and the bond holdings in the ECB. Do you think we're going to get more clarity from President Lagarde on the direction for the balance sheet in the ECB?
Well, I think she's going to try and damp that straight down. So they have 9 trillion balance sheet, about 5 trillion of which is in quantitative easing, different sets over the years. And I think there is talk possibly they may join other central banks by letting it passively, as in when maturities come, let it roll off that way. But I don't think that's this year's business. And certainly I think Lagarde will want to try and push that question away. If she can, she will, I think. As regards to the TLTROs, the targeted long-term repo refinancing operations, they need to probably rein in that. Some of that was financed at minus 1%, a little bit too generous if you got base rates now going up, say, 0.75.
I'll be listening for those comments from President Lagarde. 8:45 Wall Street time after the decision from the ECB. That comes down at 8:15. Of course, we will have full coverage for you here on Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth, thanks for joining us ahead of all that. Really appreciate it. Looking ahead to the market open here on Wall Street, futures little changed. No change to S&P futures right now. Dow futures and NASDAQ futures both up 2 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly sunny with a high near 80. Today we'll be in the low 80s tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Nice weekend shaping up. Right now, 65 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers' simple IBKR global trader app. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at ibkr.com/globaltrader. Up first, the European Central Bank is expected to raise interest rates at its first monetary policy meeting since July. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo says it's still unclear if they'll hike 75 basis points or 50.
When you look at the 75 basis points camp, what they argue is there is a window now to hike, and you should do it quickly, decisively, and take swift action. This is now about the credibility of the institution. On the flip side, when you look at the 50 basis points camp here, what they argue is that you could find yourself in a situation where you're hiking aggressively at the same time your economy about to enter potentially a recession and facing an energy crisis.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo says the central bank will definitely raise rates today.
And back here in the U.S., Karen, Fed Chair Jay Powell takes part in a moderated discussion hosted by the Cato Institute this morning. We'll bring it to you live around 9 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, overseas, Nathan, the U.S. is warning about Chinese threats to Taiwan. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says he and congressional leaders are working to alter policy toward the island.
There are elements of that legislation with respect to how we can strengthen our security assistance for Taiwan that are quite effective and robust that will improve Taiwan's security. There are other elements that give us some concern.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan made the comments on the David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations. Catch the program on Bloomberg Television September 21st at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Meantime, Karen, the White House is hosting its first gathering of Asian nations over an economic agreement aimed at countering Beijing's rising influence in the region. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel in Hong Kong says the agreement is not traditional.
It's a non-traditional trade agreement that the United States and the Biden administration has come up with and has brought in 13 other countries in the Asia Pacific. And they're going to be meeting in Los Angeles in the inaugural meeting. It's going to be a couple of days. It's not really a traditional FTA, free trade agreement. It is not like TPP. It's not really aimed at cutting tariffs.
Bloomberg's Stephen Engel says critics think the pact is too vague and want more details.
And the yen had big swings overnight, Nathan, following reports that officials in Japan are meeting for the first time since June to discuss the situation. That's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 65 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident on the Whitestone Expressway, southbound ramp to the Van Wyck. More coming up in traffic. First, John Tucker with more on what's happening in New York and around the world. John.
And Nathan, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has made an unannounced visit to Ukraine today. The trip is Blinken's third since the start of Russia's invasion in February. Meantime, President Biden will hold a video call today with allies. The talks will focus on the next steps to support Ukraine. The Pentagon has also sent Ukraine its most accurate artillery shell, the GPS-guided Excalibur, according to budget documents. One of the last remaining government mandates of the pandemic has now been lifted. Let's get more this morning in this report from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul has lifted the state's mask requirement for public transit. It comes after months of confusion among commuters by varying national, state, and local rules on where face coverings are required. The governor says COVID numbers are stable, putting the state in a good place now. Effective immediately, masks will no longer be required for mass transit, correctional facilities, and shelters. Mask mandates remain in effect at nursing homes, as well as other health care facilities regulated by the state. Mask compliance on New York City's subways, buses, and commuter trains had waned over the past few months. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Another mass shooting in Memphis. Four people were killed, three others injured in a shooting spree that held the city hostage for hours last night. Police say 19-year-old Ezekiel Kelly drove around randomly shooting people while live streaming on Facebook. He was taken into custody. Court records show Kelly had a previous first-degree murder charge but pleaded down to aggravated assault, serving just 11 months. Memphis Mayor Jim Strickland was outraged and blamed a lenient judicial system.
I'm tired of our police officers arresting the same people over and over and over, and those people committing violent acts.
The shooting comes the same week Memphis police found the body of a missing teacher, Eliza Fletcher. The second suspect wanted in the stabbing rampage in Canada has died. Miles Sanderson was taken into custody yesterday. Police say he went into medical distress shortly thereafter and died. Miles and his brother Damien had been on the run in Saskatchewan since Sunday. Accused of stabbing, killed 10 people and left 19 others injured. Damien was found dead in a field near the stabbing sites on Monday. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thank you. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, we've got John Stashower here at the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, when the Yankees are slumping and banged up, bring on the Minnesota Twins, a team the Yanks always dominate, and the Yanks with a doubleheader sweep. Go for a four-game series sweep tonight. They're doing it with a lineup that had five guys who've spent most of the season in Scranton, and yet Yanks won a wild opener 5-4. They scored twice in the 12th inning as Waldo Cabrera, the walk-off hit, ending an 0-for-25 slump. Earlier, an Aaron Judge home run, his 55th. Second most in Yankee history, moving past Mickey Mantle and Alex Rodriguez, and now trailing only Roger Maris. The nightcap had a grandstand from Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and Aaron Hicks, who has struggled so mightily with a three-run double, and the Yanks won 7-1. Mets also had a doubleheader sweep in Pittsburgh, first 5-1 and then 10-0, so they're a half game ahead of Atlanta. Max Scherzer put on the injured list, achy side. The hope is he misses only one start, no more than two. So down to the final four at the U.S. Open. Women's semifinals tonight. No Americans left as Jess Pegula lost last night to the top seed Iga Swiatek. There is an American semifinalist on the men's side. First time since Andy Roddick in 2006. Francis Tiafoe won again, and tomorrow Tiafoe will face Carlos Alcaraz. He won his quarterfinal match with Yannick Sinner in five sets. The match went 5 hours, 15 minutes. It ended at 2:50 a.m. Alcaraz had won his previous match at 2:23 a.m. Rams and Bills kick off the NFL season tonight in L.A. Jets made official Joe Flacco will be the starting quarterback Sunday against Baltimore. Zach Wilson not ready to return from his knee injury. In fact, he might miss the first three games. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. If you're still bleary-eyed from that early morning U.S. Open match, you'll be glad to know. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is bright-eyed, ready to tell us what's happening under the hood in this little changed market before we get that ECB decision, Kriti.
Yeah, lucky for everyone, I did not stay up to watch the U.S. Open match. I think I missed a big one.
Yeah.
We got to keep an eye on GameStop. Speaking of big things to watch here, it is soaring up about 9% in the pre-market. It's coming off a partnership with, guess this, Nathan, a cryptocurrency exchange, FTX.
Oh, wow.
On the same day, by the way, that they did announce their earnings as well. So let's talk about the earnings picture first. The gaming company reporting net sales for the second quarter that did ultimately miss estimates. Analysts still skeptical, but it was that partnership with FTX, which, of course, we know has seen quite a bit of success in the crypto space, that's really boosting the shares here. Getting some positive reviews on it from the analyst base, saying that while GameStop has a passionate shareholder base, FTX could add to it. So that is some good news for GameStop, despite the fact that you don't really have a positive catalyst for GameStop when it comes to the earnings front. I should also mention that this is, when it comes to the FTX partnership, this is really in the efforts to boost the NFTs. This is something that you're seeing a lot of gaming companies really look to do, and this partnership with FTX gives GameStop quite the boost.
Well, you know, if AMC Entertainment can invest in a gold mine, why not have a crypto partnership with GameStop? What else are you looking at, Cree?
Well, let's look at American Eagle Outfitters. We know the retail story has continued across the sector. Target, Walmart, Nordstrom, even Macy's. Well, American Eagle is no exception. They're down about 15% in the pre-market war, down as much as 16% earlier in the session. They reported results as well. Some of these earnings stories still trickling in, as you can tell, Nathan.
Yeah.
But their reported results that Citigroup analysts described as, quote, rough. They also pause their quarterly cash dividend. Nathan, that is probably the worst thing you can do beyond not giving guidance. Essentially just pausing that dividend at a time when a lot of companies, especially American Eagle, has actually been using that dividend to attract investors. It's something that you've seen in the financial space. It's something you've seen arguably in the tech space as well. Arguably even in the oil space, they're actually boosting their dividend. Retailers, not so much. So not so great news for American Eagle. AEO is your ticker, down about 15%. I'm going to end here, Nathan, with Moderna shares.
Okay.
mRNA is your ticker, up 1.7% in the pre-market. It was higher about 3% earlier in the session, so some of those gains getting paired. This comes after Deutsche Bank upgraded the stock to a buy from a hold after a solid second quarter earnings beat and welcome late July news of additional fall 2022 orders coming out of the United States. So some good news on the vaccination front.
Yeah, the healthcare space certainly doing well in this environment. Thanks for this, Kriti. Good, as always, to have you with us. Bloomberg Radio TV Markets Correspondent Kriti Gupta. Looking ahead to the market open, stocks as a whole, little changed. Waiting for the ECB to come down with its decision. Got S&P futures right now up a point. Dow futures up 22. NASDAQ futures up 3 points. 10-year treasuries up 6.30 seconds. The yield now 3.24%. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather turning mostly sunny with a high near 80. Today we'll get into the low 80s tomorrow with sunshine. Sunny, low 80s for Saturday, calling it partly sunny and low 80s for Sunday. Right now, 65 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures little change this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest gains in the U.S. futures right now. Dow futures up 48 points. S&P's gained 5, while NASDAQ futures are up by 15. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.24%. Gold is up 4. Oil is trading lower. And Bitcoin is down by 0.5%. Japan rose 2.3% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front, an 8:30 initial jobless claims. After the bell last night, GameStop announced a partnership with cryptocurrency exchange FTX. And in other news, Goldman Sachs raised its forecast for hikes to 75 basis points this month and 50 basis points in November. Wrapping things up, Moderna was raised to buy at Deutsche Bank, and over at Goldman Sachs, Canadian Solar was cut to sell for Solar raised to buy. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, Secretary of State Antony Blinken has made an unannounced visit to Ukraine in a show of support. The Pentagon, meantime, has quietly sent Ukraine its most accurate artillery shell. And Memphis police say four are dead after a teenager shooting spree that was streamed live on Facebook. Sports, Yankees beat the Twins in both games of a doubleheader. Mets also winners, beating the Pirates in both games of their doubleheader. The A's lost to the Braves. Giants lost to the Dodgers. The Red Sox lost to the Rays. Orioles lose to the Blue Jays. And the Nationals lose to the Cardinals. And, of course, the NFL season kicks off tonight with the Bills heading to Los Angeles to take on the Super Bowl champion Rams. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. At 6:49 on Wall Street, we turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. Tech Lim, NJIT's ninth president, is committed to strengthening and growing NJIT's industry partnerships to improve student opportunities and outcomes. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Depression, anxiety, worries about the pandemic, and other sources of distress prior to getting COVID-19 may increase the chance of developing persistent long-haul symptoms, according to a recent Harvard University study. The study found those who experienced two or more types of distress before their infection had almost a 50% greater risk of self-reported impairment lasting 4 weeks or more. Providers of internet-connected technology, from Apple iPhone software to baby monitors, will have to meet new cybersecurity requirements in the EU or face fines and possibly have the product taken off the market, according to a draft proposal seen by Bloomberg. New rules called the Cyber Resilience Act, set to become public next week, are aimed at improving the security of devices. And in addition to the iPhone 14, Apple unveiled a new line of smartwatches that includes Ultra, aimed at hikers, long-distance runners, and serious athletes. The device has a larger screen, bigger battery, and adds body temperature tracking, crash detection, and the new lower power mode. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Thank you, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is almost 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include some breaking news. As John mentioned, Secretary of State Antony Blinken has arrived in Kiev in an unannounced show of support for Ukraine. President Biden set to host a call this morning with allies on countering Russia. President delaying a decision on Trump-era China tariffs. And Republicans on defense as the dream of a congressional red wave appears to fade. Let's bring back Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick for more on some of these stories, including what we're learning now. Jack, Secretary of State Blinken is in Kiev. What are we hearing?
Yeah, he is there. It is his third trip to Ukraine since the beginning of the war. Another example of the Biden administration trying to somewhat frequently show, support for Ukraine. He didn't go with, a series of international negotiations or anything like that. There was some news right around the time he got there that the U.S. is planning to provide another $2 billion in more military aid to Ukraine. It's not a change in U.S. policy, but it's an example of the Biden administration trying to, it seems, somewhat frequently reiterate support for Ukraine. And of course, you see that the timing with President Biden holding a video call with a group of seven and other European leaders to discuss Ukraine as well.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see this sort of ramp up of attention on Ukraine as the war is now heading into its seventh month and into a winter where Europe, the allies of the U.S., could be facing a pretty significant energy crunch, really sparked by the war.
Yeah, that is a key concern for the Biden administration. It's not something, at least at this point, that has fundamentally changed the U.S.'s political outlook or the U.S.'s stance on aid for Ukraine. There's really a lot of bipartisan support for continuing to do whatever is possible to help Ukraine and not back down to Russia. But there's concern that in Europe, especially, if we head into a cold winter, it's hard to predict exactly how high energy prices will go. And that is the kind of thing that can undermine the political willpower behind international support for Ukraine. So it's not something that has shaken the foundations of support for Ukraine at this point, but it's a major concern from the U.S.'s perspective as they try to rally as many countries as possible around Ukraine as possible heading into the winter, because that's one of the factors that could undermine political support.
And another geopolitical flashpoint, Jack, we're hearing President Biden, I guess we're continuing to hear that he's putting off a decision on what to do about tariffs on Chinese imports. Can you give us the latest on his thinking?
Yeah, so it's not happening at this point. The decision is going to be bumped back. They haven't said exactly how long, but a couple things on the calendar to keep in mind that could create some political unpredictability. One, there's the Chinese Leadership Congress in October. It may be wise to push this decision back beyond that. And, of course, the U.S. midterms in November. Any decision that would come across as Biden being weak toward Xi Jinping would be a very tough one for Democrats to campaign on heading toward the midterm. So it may be the case that this is a politically dicey situation to the extent that the Biden administration wants to bump it back past that. They have announced a review process that would allow businesses to seek some relief and give input on which tariffs they think are costing jobs or competitiveness. But as far as the broader decision about a wholesale removal or scaling back of the Trump-era tariffs, that appears to not be something that will happen very soon.
Well, since you mentioned the midterms, Jack, here we are exactly 2 months away from Election Day in November. How are things shaping up right now?
It is looking closer now than it was a couple months ago. There have been some high-profile speed bumps for Republicans. It's still an issue where, you know, Republicans have a pretty clear advantage in the House races. In a midterm like this, you would expect the minority party to pick up seats. They only need to pick up a limited number. Democrats have a 5-seat advantage at this point. The projections, you know, the latest from the Cook Political Report is Republicans could pick up 10 to 20. That would be less than you previously would have expected. The Senate is very tough to predict. There are some key Senate races where the polls lately have looked pretty good for Democrats. Democrats have a significant fundraising advantage in generally across the board in the major competitive Senate races. Mitch McConnell had acknowledged that candidate quality was an issue. You've seen people like Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania, Blake Masters in Arizona struggle to raise as much money as their opponents. Some of the Trump-backed primary winners on the Republican side have had, I guess, a slow start campaigning in the general election and not great polling news. It is still something where, you know, you would expect Republicans to likely win at least one of the two chambers, but the expectations have come back down to earth on the Republican side.
Thanks for this, Jack. We'll continue following the run-up to the midterms, of course. Bloomberg Government Congressional Reporter Jack Fitzpatrick joining us from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in the nation's capital. You can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And if you're in Washington, you can listen to Bloomberg Radio on Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Some red headlines crossing the Bloomberg terminal. The UK's new Prime Minister Liz Truss is unveiling her plan to help households and businesses deal with soaring energy prices. UK is limiting the typical price of household energy to £2,500 a year. Truss expects the plan to curb inflation by up to 5 percentage points in the UK. And she also says the UK and the Bank of England will help energy firms with liquidity needs. All this ahead of an ECB decision. The futures are starting to point higher just a bit. S&P futures up 5 points right now. Dow futures up 42. NASDAQ futures up 14 points. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.